It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
And great to have you with us on a Friday. Dave Gosher, Shane Knighty with you from our studios in downtown Summerlin right here at City National Arena. Nighttime at Noon. We'll be joined later in the program, perhaps. I always say perhaps, Shane, with Gordon Weigers because he comes in late.
He's a busy man.
He's busy, and sometimes it just depends on my mood as to whether, you know, we
I'm glad you allowed me on today.
No, you're a shoo-in. But Gordon went to Northeastern because he couldn't get into BU, and we know the rest of the story. But anyway, Nighttime at Noon, great to have you with us. We have a lot to cover. Of course, unrestricted free agency kicks in 2 weeks from today. There's already been a buyout, Bobby Ryan with the Ottawa Senators earlier today. But lots to get to a little bit later in the show. But special guest right off the top here today. We're happy to be joined by Keith Jones, NBCSN, NHL and NBC analyst, game analyst, studio analyst, has his own radio show in Philadelphia.
Does it all.
Jack of all trades. Jonesy, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Good to catch up with you guys. How's it going there in Vegas?
No, it's good, Jonesy. It's more importantly, so have you been in Stamford, Connecticut now for basically two straight months, or how's this worked for you?
Yeah, it pretty much. I was able to sneak home a couple of times in between series. But overall, I'm kind of in my own little bubble here. And Anson Carter's been stuck here with me the entire time. And Patrick Sharp as well as Catherine Tapp. And Liam's gone on to do some football stuff now, so we haven't seen him for the finals. But it's been different, and I can only imagine how tough it's been on the players being stuck in that bubble for this entire time.
What have you been doing with yourself when you're not busy working?
You know what? It's limited what you can do. Just basically have been hanging out at the hotel, picking up lunch from a couple restaurants around the corner here in Stamford, and then heading back to the room. And it was a lot of fun when there was a lot of games going on. It's been a little boring since the games have slowed down and we're down to one every 2 days. And luckily this weekend we got back-to-back starting tonight.
Yeah, how do you think that favors or doesn't favor these players? You know, this is unique as we've never seen in the Stanley Cup. Of course, everything's been unique this year, Jonesy, with, as you said, all the play. It was so exciting, and now just down to these final two teams. But is there an advantage for one team or the other maybe coming into this back-to-back situation?
With Tampa being up 2-1, Shane, I think that I'd be real nervous if I was a Stars fan that this thing will be over in two nights. I think Tampa's in a position now, if they can win tonight, that quick turnaround and the excitement of having a chance to raise that thing tomorrow night, I think will propel them to victory. But that being said, if Dallas finds a way to win tonight, then all the momentum shifts to them, and they've got a game coming right back on Saturday. And if you blink your eye, all of a sudden Dallas will be up 3-2 in the series. And based upon the way some of these series have gone throughout the playoffs, neither of those things would be shocking to me.
If it's going to change in Dallas's favor, Jonesy, what areas do you think they need to be better?
I would say discipline overall. I think that they want to play aggressively like they did against you guys. If they play that way but stay out of the penalty box for the most part, I think they'll have a chance to beat this Lightning team. Tampa's strength is the way they defend. They've got an outstanding blue line. And they've got a good checking line now, which they haven't necessarily had in the past. They always had the best line of defense in their goaltender, Vasilevsky, but they've got veteran defensemen that just know how to defend now, and that's probably been the toughest thing for Dallas to get through.
Well, and on that topic, we might as well go to it. I think he's another level. I think he's the best defenseman in the NHL, in the world. And I know, you know, Roman Josi deservedly maybe the Norris this year, but Victor Hedman, his performance in the playoffs, and, you know, I know it was all their big goal guys getting on the board in game three, and Kucherov, Palat, Point, they've carried it, Stamkos, but Victor Hedman so often starts the plays, he finishes the plays, he cut off the plays. What have you seen from him? Have you think, you know, we've always considered him the best, but do you think it's just like another level performance right now?
Yeah, I do, Shane. I think it's Lidstrom-like. I mean, he's just, yeah. And he's doing it with ease. I mean, it just looks like the game is in slow motion for him and everybody else is trying to catch up. So when players play that way and separate themselves from everybody on the ice, it's tough to find different players that have played the game previously that you can even compare him with. So there's been some great defensemen come through this league, as you know well, but very few can play the way Hedman has played for such an extended period of time during the playoffs and not show any signs of taking a dip at any point. He has, without question, been the biggest difference maker for Tampa, and I think he's going to win the Conn Smythe if they win the championship.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you mentioned Lidstrom, and I think not only thinking Hedman the way he plays with ease, but we're talking about a man that's 6'6". It's a large human being on the ice, and I guess I'm trying to think in the past of another. You know, maybe you got to go all the way back to Larry Robinson, or is there a comparable you can think of?
The only guy I can think of, but he's different. It was Pronger.
Yeah,
and height wise, and he controlled the pace of play, and he was, you know, I think you know his game well. He was meaner, and
I played with him in Anaheim.
He had that advantage where every team, the plan was to hit him, and then once you took his stick in your mouth, you decided that plan wasn't going to be working for you when you went after him. But that's the one unique part about Pronger is just how difficult he was to play against.
Keith Jones joining us, NBCSN, NHL and NBC analysts, joining us from Stamford, Connecticut, getting set for game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Dallas Stars. Obviously, a huge storyline, Jonesy, coming out of Game 3 the other night was the return of Steven Stamkos. I know he only played 5 shifts, but the impact he had on that team, could you kind of speak to that a little bit? Just the incredible emotional lift. Obviously, he scores right off the bat, and what that can mean to a team.
Yeah, it can mean everything. And then when he's not playing, when the second period starts, you wonder how Tampa will respond, right? I mean, that's the part that would concern me when a player of his stature returns, especially with a guy that's so popular within their locker room. He's not just a guy that wears the C because he's a great player. He's a really good leader and just a really good human being. So I think that there can be a tendency for some players to have their play dip a little bit because they're so disappointed that he can't continue on, realizing what he has been through to get back and even step on the ice for that opportunity. I give Tampa credit for the way that they played after he left, because they even took it to another level. And I know he was sitting on the bench and cheering on his teammates, but that had to hurt, man, to be able to come back and then be sitting there on the bench the rest of the game, realizing you couldn't physically continue. I can't imagine what that was like for Steven Stamkos, but he provided the boost that they needed, and they found a way to get it done.
Yeah, it's interesting because he wasn't on the bench. I was thinking the same thing. How are they going to react? And then I think, you know, maybe him just, you know, knew he wasn't going to play but returned in that second period of the bench, because that to me was the most dominant period of this whole series for Tampa Bay, was period number 2 against Dallas.
Yeah, and I think you guys had a really good look at what Dallas can do when they defend well and get some good goaltending, like in the series against Vegas. But for some reason, Tampa was able to get to the inside, and they were able to get to those rebound opportunities, and they were able to, you know, elevate some of those shots in tight and find a way to kind of solve Hudobin. And that's been a challenge for other teams throughout the playoffs. I think a lot of it has to do with the Dallas Stars defense. I think they're very good, very underrated, and have 2 extremely talented D-men of their own and a good defensive defenseman in Lindell that can provide a little bit of offense at the other end. But it's an underrated blue line, a big reason why Dallas has been successful. But somehow Tampa found a way to generate a lot of quality scoring chances and capitalize on them.
Jonesy, I know that Anton Hudobin was pulled in the last game, but you know, going back to the previous series against Vegas, where he was excellent, he's been really good most of the playoffs. Tyler Seguin had the comment that it reminded him of another goalie he used to know in Tim Thomas. You know, and obviously Shane has close ties to being a part of that 2011 Boston team. What do you see from Hudobin? Has it surprised you that here are the Stars, one of the 2 teams left standing, when Ben Bishop has not really been any part of this in the postseason?
Yeah, and you wonder if he will be this weekend with these back-to-backs. Yeah. You know, I'm not sure what kind of condition he's in, but yeah, Hudobin does remind me a lot of Tim Thomas. And I think, Shane, he was there with you guys as an extra guy on that run, too. But it's a remarkable story and a really an unexpected story, because I've always viewed him as a backup goaltender. He's had plenty of opportunities with injury to top netminders to kind of run with it and never has before. I think maybe one exception with Minnesota when he was putting up some good numbers for a brief period of time. But he's always been your prototypical backup because he's got a great attitude. He's a good teammate and kind of was a good cushion for the number one netminder. To see what he's done and what the team has done in front of him has really been a great story throughout these playoffs. But if you're looking at the Dallas Stars and the teams they got through, it's shocking that they were able to beat Vegas with Hudobin as their top netminder, and really shocking that they were able to get past Colorado. Maybe not as shocking based upon the injuries that the Avalanche had, but that was a heck of an Avalanche team that Dallas beat.
Well, Dave just mentioned another name I was going to ask him about, and Tyler Seguin for the Dallas Stars. You can throw some other big names in there, but you know, in particular, Seguin and just his lack of performance here. And you know, is it just not a bounce going his way? Is it complete lack of confidence? What have you seen from him as the lack of production? It's tough to win, you know, the Stanley Cup unless your top guys step up.
It almost looks, Shane, that he's satisfied doing all the little things that are us third and fourth liners and, you know, role defensemen did. Like, that's not a great place for your star player to be, right? And he's done those things well. I can't knock him. The team game has been there, but that's not what Tyler Seguin is. He's an explosive talent that when he's going, he's a fun guy to watch play and a very productive player. He's not going. He's fooling himself if he thinks he is, because the chances are limited. I think he did have a couple, I believe, in game one that were quality chances, but you can tell when he's shooting it, he's not expecting it to go in. So I'm sure it's some combination of confidence. You wonder, maybe injury? I don't know. I mean, he does not look as explosive to me, so I will say maybe he's not getting there as quickly as he has when he's been a productive player, but I don't see it changing. I'd be surprised if he has a big night tonight. I think Jamie Benn can get his game going. I would have much more confidence that he'll find it before Seguin will.
Excuse me. I'm fine.
Oh, jeez.
It's all over, Jonesy. Thank you for joining. Jonesy, you spent a lot of time around the Philadelphia Flyers. Your thoughts on their ability to grab the number one seed and then, you know, where do they go from here, do you think?
Yeah, they didn't go anywhere from there. They didn't deserve to beat Montreal. So what happened, I believe, is if you look back to the regular season, they were real good. Like they had a legitimate chance to win the Stanley Cup. After the round robin, they never demonstrated that they were a team that was good enough to win this year. So I don't know if that was conditioning. I don't know if there was certain players that just couldn't find their legs, couldn't get their game to where it was before. They were a very deep team all year long, and then all of a sudden just kind of collectively looked like they hit the wall. So based upon what I saw in the playoffs, I would throw most of it away, because Alain Vigneault's teams, when they're, you know, developed throughout an entire regular season, have a tendency to be really strong in the playoffs. And the Flyers didn't look as good as the Islanders. They somehow got that to seven games, but the Islanders were the better team the whole time. And they barely got past the Montreal Canadiens team that had traded most of their players at the deadline, not thinking they were going to make the playoffs. So that there was some concern there in watching it, but I would throw most of it away, because the Vigneault coach team kind of builds for the biggest moments, and this disruption didn't do them any favors.
Yeah, patience. It's always something the fans like to hear in every city, especially Philly. but as I'm going to turn it, I have to ask you your thoughts, on the Golden Knights. Kind of a two-part, you know, what you think maybe they need to improve upon. I think it's a team that's very close. And then, you know, I'd like to hear your thoughts on Shea Theodore and just how he continues to elevate his game as we're seeing all these phenomenal young defensemen in the NHL.
Yeah, it's imperative. They need him. I mean, he is an extremely important player and a very gifted player, and it's great to see him come into his own this year. And they could use one more, a drop down than Shea, with similar offensive abilities. I think that was something that Vegas was kind of lacking this year. Tough to find depth at that position, and some of the teams they played against, especially Dallas, have some good young defensemen coming. That would be an area that I would want to build upon if I was Vegas. But having Shea Theodore there as your cornerstone, I think, is going to set them up nicely as they try to slot some pieces in around. I expected them to be in the final, to be honest with you, Shane. I thought that they would beat the Dallas Stars.
Us too.
And I found it to be remarkable that they didn't get past them, especially with the forward group that you have, and also with the head coach behind the bench. I think Peter DeBoer is an excellent coach. So Evan Leonard and net and those tough decisions that were made could not have been easy, and I thought they were going to pay dividends, and I'm quite shocked that they didn't get past Dallas.
So along those lines, Jonesy, what's your read as to why they did not get past Dallas? What happened?
I think Vancouver took their confidence away. I think Vancouver forced a lot of their star players to grip their sticks tightly, and they entered a series against Dallas and never found their scoring touch. And in a short tournament, it can go away from you quickly. And they had too many guys that were lacking confidence to get through a team like Dallas, who seemed to be on a roll after getting past Colorado. I think there was a little bit of some issue with rest between series and how quickly the next one started. And I think that might have been part of it, but I think a lot of it came down to offensive confidence. Just as an example, when Riley Smith is on top of his game, he looks like one of the best players in the league. When his confidence goes, he looks like a very average hockey player. And the way Vegas is built, they need him to look like a star. And he lost his confidence and never seemed to get it back in that series. And that's just one example of one player that I know Vegas relies on heavily for offense but couldn't find their game.
Keith Jones joining us from the NHL and NBC. Just a couple of more quick ones for you, Jones, before we let you go. I'd like to get your opinion, and it's been talked about ad nauseum here, but from afar, the goaltending situation in Vegas and how you potentially might see that playing out as you look into the future.
Well, I like Robin Leonard's game a lot. I love Marc-Andre Fleury, especially as a person. And I think the entire franchise and all the fans in Vegas love him too. But I do think that Robin Leonard's better at this point in his career, and he's younger. So I don't know what the situation is there. I know there was rumors that Leonard had locked up, but that hasn't happened, right, guys?
No, not that we're aware of, no.
Yeah. So would it shock me if he signed a long-term deal and both guys stayed there? No. And as long as Marc-Andre Fleury's okay with that and can settle into playing 30 games a year and also being there just in case Leonard goes down, then I think you guys are in great shape and goal. But that's
pretty
a lot of
scenario.
Money to spend on that position.
Yeah, and that's the question, right? Are they, you know, can they tie up $12 million in goaltending, right? I guess that's something they've got to figure out. Last one for you, Jonesy. You know, I know Gary Bettman talked about the start of next season. I know this season hasn't even ended yet, but it could be done as early as tomorrow night. As you look into the future, what do you see in your crystal ball as to when you think? Is it January? Is it fans? Is it no fans? Do they ramp it up? Do you have any feel for that?
If I had to guess, I don't think it's December 1st, which had been mentioned. I'm thinking January, and I'm thinking and hopeful that we have a vaccine that is at least available for, you know, our elderly population and those at risk and our frontline workers. And you hear rumblings about that. It wouldn't surprise me at all with the smart people that we have in this world and in this country. So if they announce that they have a vaccine and they start to distribute it to high-risk areas, I think the NHL would realize that somewhere down the road they can start to bring fans back. And when they realize that they're going to be able to at some point let fans re-enter the building in some capacity and some numbers, that's when I think we'll start. And then we can – I'm not saying there's going to be fans in the stands for the first game, but as long as they know that down the road it can happen – I think then we'll see hockey return for next season. And look at our sport relies on our gate. I mean, this is our players are paid a lot of money, and you know, our fans pay a lot of money for tickets to go and watch them play and be entertained by them. But it's a huge business, and we need our fans back in the stands for this thing to work.
Jonesy, thanks so much. We know you've got a busy day ahead, and thanks for taking the time to join us. We really appreciate it.
Always good to catch up with you guys. Miss seeing you guys in Vegas. I'm glad you didn't make it this year, though, because I only like going when you guys are in the final.
Yeah, that's a decent time.
Would have been depressing.
Hopefully we can do that again.
Plan that for next year, maybe.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. See you guys.
Thanks a lot. Keith Jones joining us from the NHL and NBC. He's always great to talk to, Shane, and I just love to, you know, even from afar, you know, his perspective on Vegas and on the league is terrific.
Tremendous analyst, you know, both covering Philadelphia Flyers, of course, with NHL and NBC, and he's always calm. He's got a calm demeanor about him and just a great way of explaining and analyzing the game.
Keith Jones joining us. Thrilled to have him with us on Nighttime at Noon. Quick reminder before we go to break, Golden Knights fans, the best way to show your team spirit, no matter where you are in Nevada, is with a Golden Knights license plate. A VGK plate is a great way to night up your vehicle and show everyone on the road what team you root for. Go to dmvnv.com/plates today to show your team pride. Dave Gosher, Shane Knighty with you, Nighttime at Noon on this Friday. Of course, Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final coming up later on tonight between the Stars and the Lightning. We'll delve into that a little bit, but also a little bit of breaking news here in VGK land. We'll get to that and more when we come back. Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Dave and Shane with you. Nighttime at Noon. Hockey still being played, evidently. Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight between the Stars and the Lightning. All right, Shane, so I have a question for you. I know the answer, but just I want it for the people. Have you ever been to Rock Creek Cattle Company?
I have not.
Okay, you're going to go.
I think a lot of people have assumed I have.
No, same with me.
It's happened on this show, I believe. Darren Millard, Shane, you've been there. I said, no, I have not.
No, you've never been invited.
But that will change.
You are now. So clear your calendar, okay? Because the Golden Knights, communication staff, production staff, quite a sizable contingent heading to Rock Creek Cattle Company, which you and I have not been to, but by all accounts is world-class. Deer Lodge, Montana, owned by Bill Foley. And we're going to have some special draft coverage. Of course, the NHL entry draft will be October 6th and 7th. It was supposed to be in Montreal back in June, but obviously that didn't happen. It'll be done virtually. So Shane and I, along with the lawman, Gary Lawless, last year Gary and I went to Vancouver for the draft when the Golden Knights took Peyton Krebs with their number one pick. And this year we will have a couple of shows for you. So starting on Tuesday, the 6th of October, Shane and I, Gary and I will have a pretty full draft show right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas beginning at 4 o'clock. And we're going to go about 4 hours. First round only that first day, right? Yes. And then the rounds 2 through 7 on the second day. And then day 2 coverage will be with you from, like, you know, 8:30 in the morning Pacific time. That's going to be an early wake up for Dave, but that's okay.
That'll be good.
So October 6th and 7th, we'll do our draft shows from Rock Creek. Nighttime at Noon will originate some episodes of that as well from Rock Creek. We're gonna pull you into some of these shows, but you're going to be busy, evidently, filming other things.
Yes, we're going to take
a property.
Look at all the amenities that Rock Creek has available. Looking forward to it. You know, we've never been there, so from what I've heard, just completely outstanding. My type of paradise. Growing up a small town, I love the outdoors. I also love the nice amenities, the luxury amenities. It's a great combination of both up at Rock Creek, and looking forward to it, and certainly all the coverage, the draft, such a big part here for every organization.
So we'll have a week's worth of shows from Rock Creek Cattle Company, combination, Gary and I and Shane will be part of our draft shows, but then Nighttime at Noon as well, starting on October the 5th, and we'll go through the Friday, October the 9th. So that's going to be a lot of fun to be there. Right now the Golden Knights have no picks in the second, fourth, and fifth rounds. But that could change.
To
say the least.
It'll be interesting this year. We'll talk about that later in the show.
Yeah, but anyway, that'll be coming up in what, next? A week after next, right? Not soon enough. I might leave today. I might drive up.
I bet you there's someone else who thinks that, too.
I know. Yeah. Well, please go. Go anywhere. But, no, that'll be a lot of fun. We'll have a week's worth of shows from Rock Creek Cattle Company. I wanted to build on, Shane, something Keith Jones talked to us about in our previous segment. You know, Marc-Andre Fleury yesterday, there was an article in The Athletic about how much he loves it here in Vegas. you know, still wants to play, doesn't want to be a backup. Yeah. You know, there's a lot to this whole thing as they move forward. He loves, you know, everything about Vegas since he got here. That's something, you know, as we talk about our draft coverage, and also unrestricted free agency kicks in October 9th. That's 2 weeks from today. Robin Leonard is one of a bevy of goaltenders that are going to be unrestricted. Corey Crawford, Braden Holtby, Thomas Greiss, Jacob Markstrom, Anton Hudobin, Craig Anderson, Mike Smith, Cam Talbot. There's a lot along with Robin Leonard. And at the end of the day, are they going to be able to work that out? That is the – you know, you can beat around any of the other bushes as much as you want.
So the way I look at it, you look at all those goalies that are available, and you mention them. Stanley Cup winners, you know, Crawford, Holtby. Holtby won the Vezina. You know, Anderson's been a top goalie. Mike Smith, those guys are all, you know, the youngest maybe of that, you know, 31 years old as Holtby, but had the lowest numbers of his career this year. He's, you know, an .897 save percentage, so trending the wrong way. The two top goalies out of this list to me, and it's been written about, is Robin Leonard and Jacob Markstrom. Those are going to be, to me, the two top guys that are required or looked for in this scenario. And, you know, the aging goalie is trending. And, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury, by the time they start next season, he will be 36 years old. Mike Smith, I believe, is 38. Craig Anderson around the same. Great goaltenders, but are they still number ones? Yeah. That's the question. And when you look at this list, and if you wanted to throw Fleury's name in there, still the top goalie, the best goalie of the group, you know, if I'm looking at it, I'm like Robin Leonard.
If they could figure it out and work it out, they would have, if it's not the best tandem in the league,
what a great scenario to have.
Right. You know, and I think there's a lot of people think, well, there's no way that they could both stay and the money and everything else. I'm always of the mind you can – if you really want to do something,
there's some intelligent people that work the numbers.
Yes, you can free up the money. You can figure that out. You know, they've got other unrestricted free agents. Derek Englund's contract's up. John Merrill's contract's up. They have a couple of restricted free agents. Chandler Stephenson, Nick Cousins are on that list. If you really wanted to figure it out, you could. I mean, people a lot smarter than us two, which wouldn't take much, could figure out that math. The other thing I wonder about, you know, not to give people an ice cream headache, so we know the cap is going to be flat, right?
81.5.
81.5 for this year coming up, and I think the one after, yeah. It's going tough. Anywhere. Teams that have restricted free agents, usually it's what, a qualifying offer, right? 10%, they bump it up 10%. I wonder if there's teams that just say, we're not going to make you an offer and free up space that way. That's a way to do it.
There's a lot of things that it's going to be interesting to really watch how everything goes down, and that's even the draft with trades right now. People need to lose money. You need to find ways. There might be a lot of movement this year, and you think that every year. This year with the flat cap, it poses a lot of challenges to a lot of organizations to fit in the proper amount of players, and certain players they may want in there. It's going to be very interesting to watch.
The other thing I'm fascinated by, and we haven't seen a lot of it, Shane, is offer sheets, right? Because teams know – all you got to do is go on Cap Friendly.
Yeah.
You know, whoever runs that, they're pretty right on as to what the math is for teams. If you know teams are up against it.
Well, yeah.
Oh, you know, the last one was Aho, right? Sebastian Aho.
Montreal,
sure. But Carolina matched it quite obviously. But we haven't seen a lot of that. You know, you go back to the day with Dustin Penner, right? That was Edmonton and Anaheim. And Brian Burke running Anaheim, they let him go. There haven't been many, and I just wonder, because it's an unwritten rule among GMs, but it just because it kind of drives up the cost of business. But I wonder if teams say, okay, Vegas is a cap team, and there's a lot of them, but they're right up against it. They could be some of those, too, where you just make someone – I don't know so much here. I don't know if, you know, people are going to be breaking the bank. No disrespect for Chandler Stephenson or Nick Cousins, but I'm saying if you look at the 30,000 feet above – around the league, you could see some of that too.
That's why there's interesting times for, you know, we got the Stanley Cup first to hand that out, but after that, there's no time at all before all this business part comes into the game, and it's going to be interesting how it all unfolds.
Yeah, it's and a lot of it's probably it could happen in the next couple of weeks. You usually see big trades around the draft. Last year was PK Subban, right? That was the big deal where he got traded.
That's why everybody's got to tune in.
Yep. Yeah. So
we'll be able to carry all that coverage.
We'll have. all of it, or at least most of it, for you at Rock Creek Cattle Company coming up in 2 weeks' time. So Dave and Shane with you nighttime at noon. We're going to step aside, and then we'll get into a little bit more, Shane, of the Stanley Cup Final. It's unheard of you'd play on back-to-back nights in the Cup Final, but that's going to happen. Games 4 and 5 coming up between the Stars and the Lightning, game 4 tonight, and Tampa Bay could really take a stranglehold on this series. Before we step aside, Golden Knights fans, the 2020 Kids Club kits are available now. Items include a Bluetooth speaker, exclusive Chance beanie, custom coloring book, and much more. Show your spirit and join Chance's Kids Club today by visiting vgkkidsclub.com. Kits are available while supplies last. Is Gordon coming on in the next segment, Shane? Have you made a decision yet? Okay.
Is it the next one or the following one?
I don't know. We'll see. When does he usually join the show? The next segment?
No.
Whenever we want. Okay. If we want. We'll find out. Nighttime at noon, maybe Gordon Weigers, but we will for sure talk about the Stanley Cup Final next on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Shane, you would have loved it earlier in the week. Dan Duve and I did this show together. And, you know, these little, these are called musical bumps. You could turn your mic on and people would love that. Or some might not like it. Depends, I guess, on what side you're on. All the bumps
yes,
back.
Yes, I know what they are, Dave.
All the bumps back were?
What
was, oh, it was fantastic. It was on the eve of the boss's 71st birthday. I know you've already downloaded the new album.
You and Dan and Gary, oh, yeah.
What a trio that is.
Must have been an accident.
Yeah, that's the voice of Gordon Weigers, who has joined us here on Nighttime at Noon. Fox Sports Las Vegas. So game 4 tonight between the Lightning and the Stars. Tampa Bay made it look kind of easy the other night, guys, right? You know, they're up 3-0. Dallas kind of fought their way back. The power play for Tampa Bay was a big part of it. How do you size up game 4 tonight, Shane, if the Stars are going to – look, it's only 2-1, but if it gets to 3-1, that's a long way back.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Keith Jones, who was on with us earlier, certainly the number one concern for Dallas. They got to stay out of the penalty box. You cannot give the Tampa Bay Lightning power plays. They're just dynamic, and it's, you know, the key to it we've talked about all along is, you know, if you want to get to the conference finals, you need that depth to get to that point. To move on from there, you need your best players to lead the way. Well, who scored for Tampa? We talked about all of them.
All
right
of them.
Hedman, yep. Stamkos, Palat, Point, Kucherov. Okay.
Right, they're five best players.
You know, you've got to. And to me, Victor Hedman's just been absolutely otherworldly. He has been phenomenal, making the game look easy as a defenseman. And for the Dallas Stars, Sagan, Ben, all Radulov's done is go to the penalty box. He's taking dumb penalties. You know, Pavelski, I think, you know, you can tell he wants it. He's a guy who's been around a little bit longer. Corey Perry hasn't been very effective. And Tampa got to the inside. They did. They found a way to rattle the Dallas Stars defensively. Dallas, now it's on them to bounce back, but they cannot beat them unless they get production from their top players.
Well, Joe Pavelski said that there's another level for this team. Is there? Not. You know, in watching these games, I'm kind of seeing the same Dallas team that I saw in the Golden Knights series, just with a few fewer goals.
Yeah.
Is there another level for this team? Because if there is, I haven't seen it yet.
Let's hear from Dallas coach Rick Bowness, his thoughts on his team trying to pull even in the series tonight and how they do it.
Every team needs their best players. So, again, we made it this far. We're in the Stanley Cup Finals. I know we're down 2-1, but we're here. We're in the finals. We're here by committee. That's how we got here. That's how we're going to keep battling. We've had a lot of guys step up and score big goals for us. The Kiwi, that Tatrick, Dennis, Joel Hanley the other night. Riggs got 5 goals. We're here because of a committee, because of team play. Hasn't been focused on one line or one guy, but that we're in the Stanley Cup Finals. We made it this far by committee. Do we need more from the top guys? Every team does. So we're hoping that's coming, but until it does, and if it does, then we're going to keep battling, and we're going to stay in games and give ourselves a good chance to win. based on the on team play and everyone contributing at different times. But we, yeah, so that's why we're here. We made it here with by committee, by team play, and we're going to keep the focus on that.
Yeah, they're top guys. So Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, Alexander Radulov have combined for 15 shots over the last two games. So I know it's by committee, but at some point, you know, and Jonesy made a good point, I thought, too. I don't know what's going on with Tyler Seguin.
No.
Doesn't look like himself. So if that's injury, if it's whatever it is, but that explosiveness that we know we've seen from his game just has not been there.
Well, and it's like everybody else, you know, and Gordon mentioned it. I don't know if they have another level, it has to come from their top players. That's the difference right now for, you know, the Dallas Stars is it's great, as Keith Jones mentioned, for these guys to, you know, to be do all the details of the game. But that's, you know, your third, fourth lines, your role D-men you need. And Dallas certainly got production. You know, Jamie Oleksiak's been a real standout for them. I think Klingberg and Haskinen have been quiet. If we want to, you know, pick on the top players up front, defensively, Klingberg and Haskinen kind of really quiet. Bad turnover by Haskinen last game. They need more from their top players because, you know, Tampa certainly has their guys going.
Now, when we're not seeing the offensive production from Tyler Seguin, you obviously you notice that, right? But he doesn't have much else to his game that he can bring out when he's not scoring, right? You see Jamie Benn, if he's not scoring, he's leading. He's running guys over in the corner. He's making life hard on other players. Alexander Radulov, Shane, you mentioned, he's going in the wrong direction. Yeah. But this team can't win if Tyler Seguin is a passenger, right? He's got to grab that steering wheel with both hands.
And he's second guessing right now.
Yeah. He didn't score. He didn't score in the Vegas series.
No.
So he hasn't. I'd have to look it up. It's been a long time.
A long time
since he has scored a goal. I'll look it up here in a second.
But he's never really been a big playoff performer, Dave.
No.
And you remember the last time he went to the Cup Final was 2013. That was a shortened season. How many playoff goals did he have? One.
Uno.
22 games.
Yep. And therefore, well, part of the reason that they moved on, right? Goaltending. So before I get to the goaltending, let me ask you guys a question. Why are they playing back-to-back nights?
I have no idea.
Beats me.
In the Stanley Cup Final, in a bubble, there's no travel. My only theory is this. What happens on Sundays in America in the fall?
That's when they play the kicking and throwing ball,
the
right?
National Football League. And
it's TV related, for sure. It's
yes,
TV related.
Is you want to keep it away. You know, look, and we all love the game, but the ratings are what they are. They haven't been good, but whatever. You know, that's a byproduct probably of a lot of things,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
But that's the only thing I can imagine is the more I'm like, why?
But it's not as bad in the bubble also playing back-to-back. Is it ideal?
Fair enough. Right,
but
no travel.
There's no travel. They're walking right back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Regroup as quick as you can. It's not a normal back-to-back situation. Yeah. Obviously, the intensity and the importance of these games is as high as it can be. But, yeah. And he wanted to go to goaltending.
Well,
yes.
Yeah. Like
I think, you know.
What do the Stars do?
I think Hedobin rested last in the third period. This right move. Bonus said that's enough. 5-1 game. I would not put Ben Bishop in this situation. Time off. I don't think it's time. I think it's more of a, I don't want to call it desperate, but, you know, an urgent move. I think that would come if they were to lose and go down 3-1. Then I would say, okay, they need to shake things up. Let's try and put in Ben Bishop. But as of right now, Hedobin didn't play in the third period. Day between games. He's fresh. He's ready to go. I think he has the right mindset. He's, you know, having known him personally, and even if anybody's watched him, doesn't take things too seriously. He can let things, you know, kind of roll off his back quite easily.
Is there a risk putting Bishop in, though?
Well, seems to be.
I mean, yeah, his last outing, he was completely skunked in the first period by the Avalanche. You can't have that in the Cup Final, especially with your back close to being against the wall.
Let's say they lose tonight. Just play this out. They lose tonight, so now their season's on the line tomorrow. Back end of back-to-backs.
I'm still going with Hedobin the whole
yeah.
way. The only way is Ben Bishop, but we're not on the inside. We don't know if he is completely healthy, if he's looking sharp in practices, if he's on the ice, how he looks, how he feels. All those things we don't know. And because we don't, I have no reason to see him come into the net.
I can tell you it won't be Jake Oettinger.
No.
No. Well, Bishop hasn't even been backing up.
No.
Right? Oettinger came in the last game. So the answer to the Tyler Seguin question, one assist in the last 12 games. So there you go. That's how much the drought has been for him. So one final little question for you guys. How many times has a team rallied from 3-1 down to win the Stanley Cup?
One time.
One time, Shane. You would remember this. In 1942, the Toronto Maple Leafs came back from 3-1 down against the Detroit Red
Wings. I just remember the last time a team came back from 0-2.
Yeah, I remember that too. That was good.
It was 2011.
2011.
I was in 11th grade.
Yep. And then the 8-spoked Bees won 4 out of 5. It won the whole thing, which was that was a good time. But only in the final, only once, which I was a little bit. I don't know if I was surprised at that. But teams have come back from 0-3 down earlier
in
the playoffs.
We talk about the pressure of being down 3-1 in every series, but in the Stanley Cup, that it magnifies.
Yeah, for sure. Dave Gosher, Shane Knighty, joined by Gordon Weigers as well. Nighttime at noon. We mentioned we're going to have some big draft coverage coming up from Rock Creek Cattle Company October 6th and 7th. But the entire week we'll have shows originating from Rock Creek. We're going to delve a little bit more, you know, kind of into the draft. It's going to be done remotely, what that's going to look like and feel like when we come back on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Final segment of Nighttime at Noon on this Friday. Dave Gosher, Shane Knighty, joined by Gordon Weigers. Game 4 of the Cup Final tonight could be all over tomorrow night. Tampa Bay up 2-1, trying to go up 3-1 with Game 5 on tap again tomorrow up at the Hub in Edmonton. So we mentioned we're going to – a lot of us will be up at Rock Creek Cattle Company coming up in about a week and a half time. And NHL draft coming up. We'll have full draft coverage. 2 days of shows, October 6th and 7th. And then we'll also have some nighttime and noon shows coming up. Gordo, you were kind of intrigued of how this is all going to work, right? Like the draft was going to be in Montreal. That didn't happen quite obviously. And now it's all going to be done – remotely. I'm kind of curious too. Like, I will say I saw some of how the NFL handled it. It was pretty cool how they did it. You know, it was strange, but not maybe as awkward as I thought it would be. I'll be very curious to see how this pans out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's plenty of advantages and disadvantages that every team's going to face. And my biggest thing, advantage wise, for the Golden Knights hockey operations department, they're going to be on one of the top 100 golf courses in the world, according to golf.com. How much golfing will be done is, will be predicated on the work that gets done. And, you know, if we know anything about this group, they're going to be working right
until
the draft is over and well beyond that. But the biggest thing that we're going to miss out on is I love watching the draft coverage because of the excitement on the draft floor. Watching GMs walk over to different tables, who's talking about what. Sometimes you'll see after a draft that someone was mic'd up and you get to hear those conversations and those phone calls. We're not going to have that. Is there going to be a group chat where GMs can just hit each other up for trades and things like that? Like, hey, we're thinking of moving up to 36. We'll give you 41 and 73. You're not going to have that in person. Are the trades going to go down? Are they going to find a way to go up? I'm curious. Last year, the Golden Knights made one move on the draft floor when they traded. They moved up to take San Jose's second-round pick, and they selected Kaiden Korzak. There were a couple big trades. You mentioned the Subban trade from last year, JT Miller as well. That wound up being a pretty impactful trade. And then you look at the trades that happen after the draft that were no doubt discussed on that floor. Last year, Vegas moving Eric Halla and Colin Miller to create some cap space. I'm curious what you guys think of how that's all going to play out.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the part about having GM. Like, last year, Gary and I were on the floor in Vancouver. Not on the floor, but kind of at the end of the rink. If you can picture it, it was the whole length of the rink, right, where all the tables were set up for the teams. The far end was the stage from where we are, or where we were, and we were at the opposite end of the building. We watched Kelly McCrimmon stand up and walk down and talk to Doug Wilson about the trade, you know, making the trade to trade up to get Kaiden Korzak. So, yeah, I would imagine they'll – I don't know. It could all be
but
just
isn't
be done
that
by
the allure
phone,
of it right?
right
now?
Yeah.
To me, that's the excitement. We don't know. Yes, in an ideal world, we'd rather have this as normal, but this we're not in that situation with what's going on in the world. So it's a little intriguing to me on how this is going to work. I thought the NFL did a great job of making it exciting under the circumstances. I think the NHL – They're going to do the same. We thought all this going into the bubble, watching games without fans. I haven't really, you know, yes, I'd prefer fans there, but I've enjoyed it. And I think that's going to be the excitement. I think there's going to be more movement this year because of how everything is compressed. There's not a whole lot of time. It's quick. There's the flat cap we talked about is going to play a part in it for moves. You look at the Golden Knights, only, you know, they got five picks. Is that the way it's going to finish? Or is there going to maybe, you know, move some? There might be not movement just to, you know, to shed salary. Maybe it's movement to get to acquire more selections. I can't wait. I'm very intrigued, and I think this is going to be exciting. Yes, it's different, but that adds to the excitement.
I think it's going to be real busy. I think it's going to be
great. I think it's going to be busy,
because,
too.
Yeah. And then you've got, you know, unrestricted free agency that kicks in on Friday.
Yeah, it comes right after. It's like, boom, boom.
If teams are looking to, all right, we're targeting.
Like, they could be talking to players and then realize, okay, we got to shed this, this, and this, and yeah.
If we're going to sign Alex Pietrangelo, we're going to sign Torey Krug, whoever it might be, we're going to add this. We've got to delete this from our books to do
it. And that's it. It's compressed. They don't have much time.
Yeah. I think it's going to be great. And we already saw a move. You know, Bobby Ryan gets bought out by the Ottawa Senators. So, you know, they're in a different scenario. They're rebuilding everything, but they're trying to – I read somewhere today they only have 10 players signed for this coming season. So they're, you know, they're in a much different boat than a lot of other teams.
10 players in men's league is fine.
Yeah, not for an NHL squad. But for the Golden Knights, you know, they're right up against it. You know, it's been well documented. You know, like, are they going to be able to figure it out with the goaltenders? If they do that, where does it's that whole math equation. They did a heck of a job last year, right, of players up, players down, you know, because you accrue cap space throughout the season.
You're more technology or more tech advanced than us, so how are we going to be able to connect all these players to connect and –
How does that happen? Just a big Zoom, big old Zoom.
Just one large Zoom call, thousands of people. No, it's going to be really interesting how that all shakes out, and I'm really excited to see the content that we're able to put together as well as what other teams do. We saw a lot of great stuff out of the NFL draft, and you know it's going to be interesting, and what a backdrop to have it at Rock Creek Cattle Company.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to get up there at Rock Creek. We'll have some great draft shows and also some nighttime at noon shows originating from there. As well, our thanks to Garrett Calloway and to Jared Justice. And for Gordo and Shane, Dave saying have a great weekend. Signing off for another week in the books, nighttime at noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.